Welcome to The Mountain Life. I'm Mary Beth Maziarz. There's a moment every theater kid knows, standing in the wings, heart pounding, about to walk into those bright lights. And for many kids, and quite a few adults, this can be terrifying. And that's exactly why it matters. Today, we're talking with Amy Livingston, the new artistic director at Park City's Egyptian Youth Theater, about what happens before, during, and after young people take part in a theater production, and why the skills they build there accompany them for life. Confidence, collaboration, and the experience of occasionally screwing up in front of people and then getting up there to try again anyway. Amy's here to talk about what she's witnessed in years of experience in youth theater, about resilience, risk-taking, and why the arts are such an important and quietly powerful tool for raising capable, engaged, creative kids. As part of our Live Like Sam Resilient Youth series, we're so excited to welcome Amy Livingston. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Can you share a little bit about your background in theater itself and what brought you to youth theater?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. I have been in theater almost my entire life. I started in a program called Kinder Music when I was very young and fell in love with music, and then kind of had my feet in both the music and the theater world for most of my life. Started doing musical theater, did a couple of training programs here and there, but I was a performer my whole life and especially a singer. And I did my undergrad in vocal performance as a classical singer, and then switched gears in grad school, got my master's degree in acting. And then around kind of during that time, especially during my undergrad, I fell into teaching somewhat accidentally. A friend of mine from my high school back in Idaho had reached out to me that he had been asked by our former school's administration to start a summer theater program because our school only had sports programs for the summer. And so he had reached out to me for help with that and wanted to know if I wanted to partner with him on that project. And I said, yes, it sounded like a ton of fun. I had never taught before and I really had no experience as a theater educator, but I had grown up, you know, doing theater summer camps and spring break camps and all these things. So I was familiar with the form. And so he and I worked together, and over the course of two summers, we did several weeks of summer programming at our former high school. And covered, you know, everything from musical theater to Shakespeare, which was kind of my passion project. Mm-hmm. And in the first summer, I just fell in love with teaching very unexpectedly. I remember going home because I was staying with my parents at the time. I remember going to my parents' house after one of like the final weeks of the summer and being like, I love this. And I didn't know I was going to. And so I graduated from my undergrad, ended up getting a job as a part-time teacher at Egyptian Youth Theater. And I have sort of spent the last 10 years, with the exception of being away at grad school for about 3 years, slowly working my way up through this program, and then became the director of the program just this May.
Yeah, it's so exciting. What is different about walking into a youth theater program versus an adult theater program?
Honestly, the passion. And that's not to say that adults don't have passion for theater, because I have passion for theater. You know, everyone that I am working with currently is an adult with a passion for theater. But kids have a very different kind of passion. It's very pure. It's very untainted by, you know, difficult industry experiences. Being in the industry as an adult, as a performer, as an actor is really hard. And even if you love it with your entire heart, you know, you have to contend with the complications of it and the rejections and auditions and the experiences with, you know, bad companies or bad directors or bad castmates or whatever. And you also have your own outside life stuff. And as an adult, and you're worrying about paying bills and how much each show is going to pay you and making sure that it's worth your time to be in this production. With kids, they love theater, and they are in a theater program because they love theater, not because they think it's gonna, you know, get them a paycheck, but because they fell in love with the art form, or you know, their friend fell in love with it and said, hey, come do this with me. And they're here because they want to be on stage, and they have this very pure love for the art itself. And that's kind of the heart of it. And just to feel that in the space, to feel that in a room full of theater kids, like, it's totally infectious. I love theater kids because they are so intensely passionate about it. And it's hard not to love that.
Yeah, it's almost what you were talking about, the experiences that are formative and that you need to have to thicken your skin as an adult actor. You basically are thin-skinned as a kid, and that purity and that earnestness is, yes, it is something you have to kind of play with in order to have resilience as you get older, but wow, it's so beautiful and innocent and lovely, isn't it?
It really is. And then it is inspiring to us as well, because, you know, for those of us on staff working as teachers or administrators, we get to experience that kind of pure love in a secondhand way. And sometimes it reminds us, I'm definitely in this position a lot where I'm around a group of kids that are just so excited to do a show. And I get reminded of like, oh yeah, like this is the point. This is the heart of it all, is just how much we love this.
Oh. Well, in the last few shows I've seen, on the closing night, you can see the emotion on the stage. Some of the kids are just bawling during curtain calls. And it makes you cry because,
oh yeah,
you remember, like, number one, just how emotional it is, but you're also putting yourself in their shoes. What does it take to help a kid who's maybe never been on stage before? What does it take to get them able to put themselves out there that way?
It's different for every kid, for sure. Some kids, I think, are just wired that way from the beginning. And you know, you get these kids who, even if you see them outside of a theater context, sometimes you just talk to a kid and, you know, you just think, okay, someone get that kid on stage as soon as possible. Like, they were born for it. It's something that comes naturally to them. For other kids, I think it takes some courage. And I think it takes encouragement from us as adults to help them feel comfortable on that stage, and maybe not even to feel comfortable at the beginning, because you're not always going to feel comfortable right away, but at least to have that willingness to try and to have that bravery of, I love seeing my friends perform. I love seeing people on stage. I love going to see musicals with my family, and I want to do that. And even if it scares me, even if I don't feel like, you know, I have 100% confidence stepping out in the spotlight, I think it's cool enough that I want to try. And if we can just continue to give them that encouragement and, you know, help them see what the end result is going to be and think about when this story comes together, when this show comes together, think of how, you know, how much fun it'll be to have your family in the front row cheering for you and to be able to sing this song that you love or to be able to play this character that you think is so funny. And so just reminding them of, like, again, kind of what the point is, like why we're doing this in the first place. And it's not an exercise in masochism. It's something that you want to be brave because you think it's great and you want to do it.
Yeah. Well, how do you coach a kid through stage fright? Because even if kids are excited about it, I'm sure some of the cast gets nervous before things, without just telling them, you'll be fine, you'll be fine. You know, what actually works? And what can we as adults maybe take with us to try to put ourselves out there sometimes?
I love this question so much. My philosophy of stage fright is, it's okay to be scared. That's part of it sometimes. And the way that I frame it for especially younger kids, but honestly, kids of all ages, I always say, if you're feeling nervous, that means you care enough to want to do your best. I think, and like, I've, you know, been a performer my entire life. There have definitely been shows that I did not enjoy, that I didn't really care about, that I didn't really want to do. They were just part of a contract that I was in. I didn't really have any particular, you know, passion for that performance or whatever. And in those cases, I feel like I'm almost never nervous. And it's because I don't care about it. It's because I'm sort of like, I just want to get this over with. I don't have any connection to this. I just want to go home. And so when I do feel nervous, I've noticed a pattern in my own life where the more nervous I am, the more I want to be there and doing that thing. And so for kids, I say, you know, that just means you care. And I will say, yes, you're nervous. Use it for good.
Yes.
And you don't have to, like, you don't have to shove that down. You don't have to pretend like you're not nervous. You don't have to convince yourself to not be scared. There is definitely a line where if you're feeling so terrified that you can't move, then maybe we have a conversation about that. And like, okay, where is this coming from? What are you scared of? Are you scared of being in the spotlight? Are you scared of forgetting a line? And then we can have more of a conversation. But I think your run-of-the-mill butterflies, you know, generic sort of stage fright, that's part of it. And that's part of the excitement.
Yeah, sometimes in my song camps, when I'll coach young people, we talk about it as just another form of energy, that it's a high arousal state. And so that energy, that nervousness, think of it as like energy you can mine and transform into an energetic performance and let it build up in you. And yeah, the more that is at stake, the more you feel that energy. And if you don't feel it, something's probably a little off.
Yeah, absolutely. I've also heard it put kind of similar to what you're saying. I've heard it put in that nervousness is just excitement wearing different clothes.
Love it.
And so I think I like the yeah, it's all just a form of energy moving through your body.
Yeah. So I don't know if this has ever happened, but have you ever witnessed a young performer completely fall apart on stage or really just kind of lose the plot? And what happened next?
Yeah, I think a couple of times. Sometimes it is backstage. Sometimes it's like, I absolutely cannot do this and I'm not going on stage. And other times it's falling apart in the scene on stage. Oftentimes when it's happening on stage, it often manifests, at least in my experience, as just like a pause or like an unexpected silence where like this performer is either forgetting lines or has shut down in some way and like doesn't feel like they can continue their lines. And I've seen it happen a couple of ways where sometimes the performer will be able to kind of like get themselves out of it and maybe they just take a breath, maybe they let that silence sit for a second and then they gather themselves and keep going. Other times, and this has been very heartwarming, I will see other cast members rally around them. And sometimes it's the other person on stage who will gently kind of feed them their line or try to like improv around it where they're trying to fill the in a very encouraging way to be like, it's okay, we're going to keep going. And I think both of those cases are really lovely to watch, to see someone like find their own strength in the moment or be strengthened by people around them.
Yeah, and most of the time the audience isn't even aware is the funniest thing,
No.
I think. You can move as long as it just keeps moving forward, and so that yeah, those little nudges from other people are so helpful. They're just your saviors in those tiny little flubs, but most of us would never even know.
Well, yeah, and that's a funny thing about being in a show is that like because you've spent so much time learning all of your lines and memorizing your songs and you know exactly how the show is supposed to go moment by moment, you kind of have this innate assumption that the entire audience knows it as well as you do. And so when you make those mistakes, they feel glaringly obvious to you. Or if you have those moments where, yeah, like I feel like I can't go on or I need to pause, I need to take a minute here, whatever. It's very easy to think like, oh, the audience is staring at me. They know what's happening. They can read my mind. But I think what you're saying is true, where the audience doesn't know the show. They don't know that that's not part of it. They don't know that that's not on purpose. If your cast member is feeding you a line on stage, they don't know that that's not the line they're supposed to say.
Yeah.
And so I've had many experiences as an educator, well, where kids will come off stage and kind of commiserate to me, about like, oh my gosh, I made a huge mistake. And like, it was so obvious. And I often will tell them, I'm like, it wasn't obvious. Like, it feels obvious in your head. You feel like that spotlight is shining directly on your face and everyone can see every single moment that's happening in your head. But the audience is just there for the ride and they don't know what was supposed to or not supposed to happen. And I do think that can give a lot of grace to kids in that situation where they don't have to feel as like embarrassed by it when that happens.
Yeah. Well, beyond the performance itself, what kinds of things do you most notice kids actually learning in rehearsal, in the crew, in the waiting, in the just in the whole production?
This sounds very cheesy, but honestly, teamwork, truly. I think being in a show requires a level of teamwork that not a ton of other things do. It forces you to let go of a little bit of your ego. Even if you're the star of the show, it cannot be all about you. You have to have those moments where you are relying on other people, where you're letting other people have their moment. If you're in a musical and you're the lead character, that's great. You're going to have a lot of moments where the spotlight is on you, but you're going to have a lot of moments where it isn't. And to have kids in a rehearsal space for an extended period of time where they are just constantly having that reinforced of like, we have to work for the good of the group, we have to work for the good of the show. And we often talk about like giving focus and pulling focus, where if it's your turn in the spotlight, if it's your solo, if it's your monologue, whatever, like you get to pull focus. Audience watching you, and if there's other people on stage with you, they have to give you their moment, your moment in the spotlight while that's happening. And often, when someone is having their moment in the spotlight, if there are other kids on stage, if there are other cast members who are in that scene, it is tempting, especially for young performers, to make really big character choices, to do things in the background that they think are, you know, adding stuff to the scene. And I think it's coming from a good place. It's very well, you know, motivated.
Intentioned.
It's very well intentioned because they're trying to add detail in the scene. They're trying to do stuff that's in character to them. And but a lot of times we will have to pull those kids back and tell them, it's like, I love what you're doing. You're making great choices, but right now they're too big because this other person needs to be in the focus, in the spotlight. And what you're doing is pulling focus away from them. And so to have little lessons like that where, you know, it's not always going to be your turn to shine. And when it is, that's great. And have it, you know, have fun, own it. But when it's not, building that skill of being able to let another person have their turn, I think builds better humans across the board.
It really does. And I mean, how many times as an adult are you maybe sharing a story and then someone kind of steps on your story, or someone isn't reading the room, isn't able to kind of know what's an appropriate time for a joke or whatever? I think those skills probably that you're talking about translate into real life moments for adults, even.
They absolutely do. Yeah. I think, I mean, yeah, teamwork, you're building communication skills. You're learning how to work with people that aren't necessarily exactly like you or don't have your same style of working or whatever. And so it's like all of these different skills that you learn being in a show with other people. Yeah, I think it makes people more well-rounded. It makes people, you know, more able to work with different types of people in other settings as well. Because I mean, we all know as adults, we're not always in our jobs, we're not always working with all of the exact people who we would want to work with in an ideal world. You're going to be put with people that you don't agree with, that you don't, you know, work super smoothly with. But if you have that experience of being in shows with different kinds of people and learning how to take your turn when it's your turn and give it when it's not, you subconsciously transfer that skill to whatever other environment you end up in.
Well, speaking of that, theater does force kids to depend upon people that they didn't necessarily choose to work with, people that they may not have an instant affinity for, or maybe they're from very different backgrounds, or even different age groups. In youth theater, you can have a fairly wide age range in the same performance. Does it usually work? Or do you find that you have to craft situations for them to bond or to learn to work together, typically?
I think overall across the board, I find it often does work, mostly by itself. However, there are definitely situations where you have, you know, two people in a cast who just clash and just, you know, maybe they have a prior relationship from their school where they don't really like each other and they're not in the same friend groups, or maybe they just met in that setting and their personalities just don't mix super well. And so I think for the most part, kids in our program tend to be fairly good at understanding, like, we are here for a higher purpose. We are trying to make a piece of art, but I need to work with them on stage. So 9 times out of 10, that tends to work pretty well on its own. But there are cases where we have conflict, where we have people that don't get along. And it is funny to sometimes see that work itself out on stage, where you have a scene where maybe the two people who don't like each other very much have a scene where it's just the two of them on stage together and their characters have to interact. And I feel like we've been pretty fortunate that we haven't seen a lot of instances in which, you know, that goes horribly wrong, where they are clashing and they're fighting and whatever. Like I said, it kind of works itself out on stage where once they're in character, once they're in a blocking rehearsal, they kind of have to put that aside. Like there's no other option really in order to make the rehearsal go smoothly and for this production to go forward. Because if you're focusing on your character, even if you're in a scene with a person that you don't really like, you want your scene to go well. You want your performance to go well. And sometimes that involves, I'm going to put my personal feelings about, you know, this person or this relationship aside so I can make sure that I do my best in this scene and in this show.
Right. Well, we're having you on the show as part of our Live Like Sam Resilient Youth series, which we love. One of the things that we like to ask our guests is, because Live Like Sam is something that celebrates the traits that Sam Jackenthal championed in his short life, what would you like to be remembered for?
Oh, that's a great question. Goodness, that's a big question. I think I would like to be remembered for the amount of art that I helped put into the world. Whether that's art that I made myself as a performer, as a director, whatever, or just as a program administrator, as an educator, as someone who is helping kids create their own art. I think that's something that I find incredibly fulfilling as an educator, is not having it be all about me and having all the pressure be on me as a performer, where I can pass a little bit of my own artistic legacy into the hands of these younger generations and then get to see what they make with it.
Yeah. Well, if there are people listening in town, families who have young people who might want to take part in the Egyptian Youth Theater programs, how do they do that? How could they dip their toe in the water? How could they jump right in?
Oh, we have so many ways. So we have programming that goes through the entire calendar year. We have programming throughout the school year. We do after school and evening classes that tend to run between like 4 o'clock at the earliest to 6:45 in the evening. And that is classes. We have rehearsals for productions, and we have tech classes. If you are not really an onstage person and prefer to be backstage, you can learn how to design lights. You can learn how to, you know, program a soundboard,
build props,
and you can help run a show from the tech booth or backstage as a stagehand. We also do more creative kind of arts and crafty things. We have an incredible staff member who is very, very skilled at building puppets and doing kind of large scale sort of puppetry. So you can learn how to make puppets. Sometimes we do improv classes, and then musical theater and acting and kind of your bread and butter general theater skills. We have a lot of those throughout the year. But we also do productions. Multiple every year we do plays and musicals for third grade all the way through senior in high school. And then in the summer, we do full day summer camp. So we are in week 7 out of 8 right now of our 2026 summer programming. So we're all exhausted.
I bet. You're in the home stretch, though.
We are in the home stretch. And so we have same thing with our summer programming. We have tech classes, and we right now this week we're doing a radio play class, which is very cool. So kids are learning how to do a little bit of voice acting and use their voices, which is a fun challenge for kids to be able to not use their bodies and their faces as much in their production of a character. They're focusing on what their voice sounds like and how they can add their voice into a production. I think they're writing their own script this week, which is fun.
Wow. And what's the website if people want to check out your offerings?
We are at parkcityyouththeater.com, and it's not youth theater as like two separate words, is Y-O-U and then the word theater with an R-E at the end rather than E-R.
So it's U theater, theater.
Yeah, parkcityyouththeater.com.
Perfect. Amy Livingston, Artistic Director at the Egyptian Youth Theater.
Yes.
Thank you so much for reminding us that the wings and the stage might be one of the best classrooms we've got. If you've got a kid who's curious, scared, or somewhere in between, theater might be something that they would love. And amazingly, the Egyptian Youth Theater's programs are all fully funded, which means there is no cost to student participants. So please check out Park City Youth Theater, and thanks, Amy, for being with us today on The Mountain Life.
Thank you for having me again. This was lovely.